Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. With any business, we think about how we can achieve that next level, hit that breakthrough, which I just mentioned, but sometimes we think about hitting 10x results, really being able to multiply what we currently have going good for us and really see a lot of growth. And there's actually this concept where 10x results, they're great, we all want them, but that doesn't necessarily require 10x effort. So today's guest and I are going to shed some light on this topic and go really deep into it. So who exactly is he? Well, today's guest runs an investment syndicate, hosts top podcasts, Angel Investing and Futuristic Technology, and scaled an $8,000 investment into a 7-figure exit in under a year. He's interviewed people like Seth Godin, Tim Draper, Neil Patel, and Tim O'Reilly, just to name a few. Today, he joins us on Breakthrough Success. He is the guest for episode 315 and none other than Matt Ward. Matt, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I feel like I got to be Superman and knock over the walls after that intro. You clearly know what you're doing and excited to have some fun.
Matt, I'm really happy to have you on the show. Let's definitely have a lot of fun indeed. Before we really get into how we can achieve these 10x results, how we can really magnify our goals and get them done, I'm wondering if you could give us some backstory about why you got started on your entrepreneurial journey and what some of the initial stages were like.
Yeah, I studied mechanical engineering and found out that there was no way I was working for someone else. I was much too into learning and doing new things, decided to look into entrepreneurship. And of course, when you start that in college, you want to be the next Zuckerberg and start the next social media company to take over the world. I found out quickly that was not going to happen. And I got pulled into solopreneurship, the concept of building a business, scaling it, and having a business, not a venture capital funded one. And I got into that. I got into really the not early days, a bit too late for the dropshipping game. And I tried my hand at that and managed to find several different ways to fail several different businesses. I got into crowdfunding when Kickstarter was still pretty early, Indiegogo as well, and built the top podcast for crowdfunding, Art of the Kickstart. And it was great, except I found out if you want to help people raise money, they don't have jack to pay you with. So I needed a business model. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to kickstart my own product. I designed a laptop case that opens to a standing desk. I go over to China. I've been in Southeast Asia throughout this whole time. I head over to China to get that designed. And while I'm working on it with my factory there, it's 3 weeks between prototype and actual product. I'm a bit ADD. You can tell I talk a little fast from this. I know people who were, they were just manufacturing products. They were branding them and selling them online on Amazon, FBA. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of it. And I figured if these guys can do it, I probably can as well. Business, I started, I get into some research. I ended up starting a home and gardening company. And it just takes off. Suddenly, that consumes all of my time. And I decide, you know what? I'm going to commit to this. I start a podcast, FBA All-Stars, and I come up with a jokey tagline of step one to 7 figures. And then my idea was, let's tell people what I'm actually doing, not try to sell someone a course or anything, but literally just show exactly what I'm doing and the software I use to run my business. It went really well because I was super open and blunt, and the episodes were really short and very tactical. From that, I was able to have the affiliate money to support myself while I scaled up that business. And then I decided ultimately, despite it being a little bit of a hyperbole goal of step one to 7 figures, I decided to actually try to sell the business. And I managed to reach that 7-figure sale mark. It's on an earnout now. So that, yeah, it's worked out pretty well for me. But that was really just about trying to I wanted to make some money so I could focus on shit that actually matters. And I'll try not to swear on the podcast, but occasionally I get passionate about things. And I think there's so many big problems in the world, and that's what I'm trying to tackle now, both by working with startups and then by really my bigger project, which is disruptors.fm. And it's a bit like a long form TED. We get the world's smartest folks to talk about the biggest problems. And that's kind of how I got here.
Thank you for giving us that brief intro background to what you're doing. It's really awesome that you're focusing on some of the bigger issues. I think we could do that regardless of how much income we're making, some of us to a bigger capacity than others, but definitely something that we should all be doing. And to get to that level where you can really like go deeper into those kinds of issues, it's very important to, I mean, having the money definitely helps, having that level of success helps. And this is where we get into this idea of 10x results. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what exactly goes into achieving those kinds of big life transformational results.
The funny thing is, it's a small thing, but I'm guessing a lot of your listeners, they probably have their own business or they're doing some type of consulting business and they want to grow it. The problem is when you think about yourself as your business or you think about where you are, you're instantly setting these hooks in the hill, so to speak, that it's hard to get away from. It's hard to think differently about. So let's say you've never started a business or you have a business going. God, I just want to get to $1 million a year. If I could pull that off, then I would be successful. Well, it's not that different versus starting out and saying, I want to get to $10 million a year. Or I want to get to $100 million a year. The big difference isn't necessarily what you'll be doing or how much effort you'll be putting into it. It's how you think about it. So let's say you've got the podcast now and you're getting, we'll say 10,000 downloads an episode. What if you wanted to get 100,000? What would you do? You wouldn't just continue to keep doing the same thing, interviewing the same people and hope it got there. You would take things to a totally new level. You would probably hire an editor. You would probably try to get one of the guys from NPR. You would probably put some money into marketing. You would probably put a bit of promotional stuff into trying to get ridiculous people on the podcast. Maybe you try to get Donald Trump so you can hear how he used a toupee to sell yourself or whatever it is. You try to find ridiculous guests that can really help you grow and scale the thing quickly. And I think that the same concept is applicable in almost all business is A, how are you trying to go about solving the problem? So what are you aiming for? It's the concept of aim for the stars. Even if you fall a bit short, you're still in orbit. And it's the other concept of what problem are you solving? So for instance, if you're trying to tackle, for instance, conversion rates and you want to optimize where you're at, you've got an e-commerce store, you're doing 10,000 bucks a month, your conversion rate's 1%. God, if I could just increase the number of people on my site, then I could up the number of sales. Or if you increase the conversion rate, you could double that. Suddenly you're doubling the volume. But then if you think about it slightly differently, what if instead of trying to optimize something I already have, what if I open a new sales channel? Well, maybe you double that. What if I start to go into retail? Well, holy cow, suddenly we just got into 365 Whole Foods around the country. Jesus Christ, we're at 1,000. We're at 365X. Slight shift on what you're doing and thinking, how can I hire someone else? How can I do something differently? How can I create those exponential impacts towards the goal I actually want to optimize for versus the one I'm currently headed towards?
And I really like the focus of this being on the thinking because it does require, I mean, we'll just throw extreme examples. It's a different mindset to go to be making $1,000 a month versus $1 million a year. $1,000 a month, I mean, it's easier to get there. It's easier to think your way through that. $1 million, it's a bigger goal, which means more work, but it involves a different thinking process. Maybe you're thinking about higher priced products and different things that can really help you get there. But when it comes to 10x results, I think a lot of people think that they got to put in a lot more effort. I'm wondering if you could shed some light on us regarding how 10x results don't necessarily require a 10x effort.
So what you'll find with the most successful entrepreneurs is they're the ones that are inherently lazy and they're trying to find something stupidly inefficient that they can make better. You don't want to have to be the person who's optimizing something. You want to hire 10 other people to do something so that you can focus on bigger level problems. I would argue that it's not that big of a difference building a $10,000 a month business versus building a $100,000 a month business. And if you look at CEOs of and startup founders, you'll kind of see this. So what happens is there's phases. And typically speaking, you don't see a startup founder all the way through being the CEO of a publicly traded company, because there's different things that go into the leadership of different companies at different stages. There's kind of that $0 to $1 million mark where you get up to there and it's kind of just, I can just bust my ass and grind and smash my head against the wall, and eventually I get there. To get up to that $5 to $10 million a year mark, It's slightly different. Suddenly you need to start hiring smarter people that are able to really handle more capacity, and they're able to take things off of you. You can't really do that all on your own. Getting up to that $50 or $100 million mark, now you're going to need to have really skilled managers. You're going to need to have very strong processes in place, and everything's changing. Then going even further up to the $500 million, the billion-dollar a year mark, you've got to be able to not show up to VC meetings looking like a bum. You've got to be able to talk on TV and do some of these type of CEO things that aren't going to shoot the stock in the foot. You've got to be able to lead people and motivate not just the workers, but the leaders of the workers. It's really a different skill every level. There's a great rap quote that I really like, and it's, "For every level, there's another devil." And it's as you evolve yourself and as you evolve your business, you encounter new problems. They're not easier problems. They're not harder problems. They're just new problems. And they're inherently bigger, just given the scale.
And that breakdown is very interesting, how you mentioned going from all these different levels. I mean, it's interesting we even tap into the billion-dollar threshold of, I mean, all these different things. I mean, some people, they may be fine with just $1 million. I mean, I say it as just, but definitely a lot of money for a lot of people, but it's good to have that knowledge in case you really want to go to the 5 to 10 to the 50 to even the billion. Knowing how to get there definitely makes it a lot easier, and it definitely requires a different mindset for each step of the journey. I'm wondering if you could give a little more insight on that first round where we go from zero to a million, because I feel like that's a lot of people are in that range. I'm wondering if you could share how we can kind of reduce the amount of time it takes to get there, look at it smarter, anything that can really help us get there.
Yeah, there's two places you could come from this, either having an existing business or someone who's still got a job and getting started. If you still got the job, try to leverage the job and the money you have coming in to hire talent and skills that either you don't possess or just things to amplify yourself. For instance, virtual assistants, etc. Anything that you can do to amplify your own effectiveness, because you only have so many hours in a day. And you can look at very similar things as well when you are building the business and you already are full scale into it. It's not just hiring people, it's also the 80-20. I know for me personally, when I was building my business, the main business I sold, which to be honest was nothing special compared to a lot of individuals, but it was something that I was proud of at the time, and it was a big result for me. But it was 80 to 100 hours a week. It was waking up in the middle of the night, thinking about Amazon, thinking about gardening, thinking about things I had no business or desire to be thinking about, but I was just so obsessed with it. And I know for a fact that I wasn't as optimum as I could have been. I was doing certain things where I wasn't outsourcing where I could have been. I was over-optimizing things that didn't need to be optimized. And these are the things that are really, really hard to get out of when you're right in that zone. But if you're able to think about things in an objective way versus a subjective way, you're able to look at and measure and analyze what's working and what's not. Double down on those things that are working, and cut out all of the other stuff. Personally, I'm a big fan, at least initially, of a spray and pray type approach. I like to think about it like fishing. Say you're in a boat and you've got a lot of different nets. I want to throw over 50 nets all around the boat just to have all of these areas covered. Some areas will have fish, some of them won't. The ones where I catch fish, I want to throw more nets there, and then also throw ones with smaller holes and bigger holes, and just do as much fishing as possible where it's working. Because if you can get rid of all of the effort from the other side of things, even if it did take you way more than it should have initially, you're able to have a much more fine-tuned, less effort approach to something that works better. It's Pareto's principle played out. And I think people don't think about that enough, and they don't hire soon enough.
And Pareto's principle is something that is essential. I mean, 80-20, there are just a few things we're doing that really control the where we're heading. Like, there's just a few things that really make the difference between accomplishing a goal and not accomplishing a goal. And I mean, with any goal you look at, there's always just those few things that really move it forward more than anything else.
Exactly. 20% of your customers are going to be 80% of your profits. 20% of people will make 80% of the businesses. 20% of men or women will date the other 80% of the population. It just kind of breaks down like that, whether or not we want it to. It just seems to be, as the numbers and the laws of averages play out, it always seems to come to something close.
Yeah, I definitely observed that as well. Like, Pareto's principle, you see it in so many different areas. It seems to be such a cornerstone. And again, like, so many different businesses, so many different areas of life. And one of the things that I do want to ask you, thinking of this 80-20, earlier we briefly talked about how you scaled an $8,000 investment into a seven-figure exit in 12 months. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about how that happened and what were the 20% of efforts that were leading to 80% of the results for that big transformation.
Yeah, so it was 2015, mid 2015-ish, and it was primarily via Amazon. So I didn't want to order as much as I did, but I had friends that were in the game who said you should do at least 2,000 units so that you can really push the ball on sales. This was, for listeners that are relatively familiar with Amazon, this is when they still were a bit more lax with some of the rules. Amazon essentially has a clause in their terms of service for sellers that says something to the effect of, you're not allowed to actually do anything to try to help yourself sell better, and if you are, it's against our terms of service. So for most sellers, at least in 2015, people weren't too worried about breaking rules. So this was sending out products, trying to get reviews, trying to incentivize people to leave reviews, etc. And I was able to, both between that, trying some other stuff in terms of my experience with SEO and copywriting, and then putting a ton of effort and money into advertising, I was able to push the product flywheel pretty quickly and get stuff spun up. I was reinvesting 100% of the money into the business. So product one fueled products two, three, and four. Products three and four fueled five, six, and seven. And I was just continuously pouring out more products. I hired a sourcing agent in China so that I was able to get better pricing than I could via Alibaba, because when you're working with someone local, there's a lot more trust there, and was really able to scale that incredibly quickly just by not letting my foot off the pedal and also being one of the people that was kind of at the forefront of testing things when it came to Amazon and figuring out what worked. I was willing to put the money where the mouth is, so to speak, and really, really try. I'll admit there was some gray hat stuff involved. It's not necessarily something that I would do once the business was scaled up, but if it's setting your picture so that you have a background initially instead of Amazon's white background, so that you're getting noticed when you're initially launching a product, whether that's changing the title so it really sticks out and has special characters or large capitalizations, etc. It was any little thing that you could do to get an advantage, in addition to also trying to build up a customer base, etc. But I think the big thing that made the business successful was product research, so finding the right products, and then advertising and PPC. So really being willing to invest, even at the point of losing decent amounts of money initially, to be able to rank. Because in a platform game, the only thing that matters is being number one, number two, number three. It's like on Google. How often do you go down to page four, page five? You just don't. It's Pareto principle. The first page is going to get like 80% of the results. And it's the same thing with products. So you've got to be that. You've got to be that winner, that monopoly player.
And it's really interesting. One thing I want to talk about is how you mentioned you reinvested 100% of your money into the business. That is something that some people are afraid to do. They pull their money out of the business. They put it into something else, but they don't want to make that step to investing. And I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about your experiences of literally reinvesting 100%, how you did that, because obviously that's a very big step. Like, you got to be very confident in what you're doing and how you're able to cover some of the other expenses you have.
So I think the way I thought about it, Will Smith has a great quote, and I can't quite remember it, but it's something to the effect of, you might be better than me, you might be smarter than me, but I know one thing. If we both get on a treadmill, either you're getting off first, or I'm going to die trying. And I think that that concept comes through when it comes to investing in wealth. The people that are willing to go longer, they're willing to put the money in, they're willing to wait longer to see those returns, they're always more successful in the long run. They are almost always, never say always, but they are almost always more successful in the long run because they're able to wait out the competition. So for instance, reinvesting everything, while it is risky, you're never going to be able to build something large if you are taking the money out constantly, because you can't, especially with a cash flow intensive business, instead of being able to launch 3 new products, I might launch 1. So in a year, instead of having 20 products that we're churning out, I might have 6. So the relative differences between those, it makes sense to really go for broke, so to speak, if you're able to do that. Now, how I was able to live cheaply, I didn't bring this up as much before, but after graduating, I moved out to Southeast Asia. I lived in Thailand and Vietnam. I was living on $1,000 a month, had a $150 apartment, a motorbike, gym, a workspace, and that was about all I was doing. But it was completely focused on how do I extend my runway out there. And by doing that and getting around to other people that were doing similar things, the term digital nomad, the Tim Ferriss type deal, I got into it. I hadn't heard of Tim Ferriss at the time. But essentially, that's what I was doing to be able to reinvest 100% in the business. I was making some money from consulting, some money from affiliate stuff, and hardly spending anything, so that everything that I made could go back into the business without needing to worry, at least, am I going to starve?
And it's interesting you moved to different locations where, I mean, from New York, like, I don't think you could find anything here that's like $1,000 a month. Like, that would be like hitting the lotto. But, I mean, were there anything else that you did to save on your money instead of just making those big moves? Because some people, they may not want to go to Southeast Asia. Like, for you, it worked. I'm sure for other people, they may consider it. But for people who may not necessarily want to do the whole digital nomad thing, maybe they're anchored, they have a family, and you know, you don't want to uproot it by going to all these different places. That could be what some people are thinking. So I'm wondering if you could give some advice for that group of people.
I would say eat your pride. Always live below your means. Have a smaller house than you can afford. Avoid having a car if you can, or have a smaller, cheaper, shittier car. I'm someone where the stuff I own is not fancy by any means. And I really believe in that, living below your means. So then if anything goes wrong, you really do have that backup plan. In terms of saving money, what's the type of stuff that you can cut out? What's the type of stuff you have to have? If you have the job, again, you can use that to subsidize things. But really, it's just focusing on how do you minimize the amount you're spending and how do you maximize the amount of effort and results you're putting into your business. So if you already have the job, or if you're already working hard, how do you really make that time count?
And I mean, that's some really great insights, because if you live below your means, you already have extra money coming in. You could also rent out a part of your property. That's another option.
Or live with someone else as well. Find roommates. Yeah. Just essentially think about it like a broke college kid. What would a broke college kid do? And then do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you think from broke, you really get creative with the ways you make and save money.
And most people haven't needed to do that, so they're not really able to think outside the box. I gotta have this car. I mean, my Mercedes, this is what I drive, or my Lexus, or I couldn't downgrade my house. People don't. If you want to do something, you'll find a way to do it. And if you don't want to do something, you'll find a way not to do it. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, we're really hitting on mindset. And I don't think it's a secret at all. Like, a lot of the episodes, like, we cover mindset in one way or the other. And I feel like mindset really makes or break your ability to really go out there, 10x your goals, and get all these incredible results. I'm wondering, though, if you could share with us, other than mindset, because I know that's a critical part, what else do you believe holds most people back from really being able to get those 10x results?
It's a good question. I would say I would say two things. The first one isn't as much geared towards the 10x results as it is towards the impacts of those results. So I think a lot of people solve for the wrong problems. There's people out there building another freaking photo sharing app. They could put the same type of effort into something that actually mattered and feel meaningful with their life versus working on something that really doesn't contribute to society. So I think just having a mission that really drives you is something that not only will you work harder and others work harder, you'll also not burn out. So by being able to have that extra effort and emphasis and emotion, you'll recruit better people, you'll build something more meaningful, and you'll build something inevitably, in my opinion, larger and more successful. So that would be the first part of it. And the second part of it, in terms of what people do that hold themselves back, people that tell themselves, I firmly believe that there are no set rules. So there are a lot of suggested guidelines. There are a lot of laws and things you really shouldn't break unless you absolutely have to. But when it comes down to it, if someone's holding a gun to your head, if your kid has cancer and you need to find some illegal treatment, if you're going to run out of money and have to, I don't know, sell your body, whatever it is, people are willing to do what it takes if they have to do that. And I think people that are willing to think outside the box of, I need to get a job or I need to go to college. God, college holds people back. There's a ton of money right there. But in terms of other business related things, people that don't try doing regular mailing. So if you do, you probably like me, you probably get a ton of emails. Well, when's the last time you got a letter from a business that you dealt with? If someone sends you a letter, you have like one or two letters in your mailbox. You're probably going to at least look at it, maybe open it. That's probably better than the email open rates for a lot of people. That's a rule. That's something that's not supposed to happen in the internet age. And yet, if you break that rule and you go against the grain, you can be incredibly successful. You're supposed to have lots of products to sell. Casper has one product. They have a mattress. Now, I think they have two products. You're supposed to do all of these things. You're supposed to run Facebook ads. You're supposed to run Google ads. Well, there's companies that are built on Etsy. There's companies that are built on social media. There's companies that are built, essentially the most valuable, successful companies and people find the rules and what everyone says and do the exact opposite, because that's where no one else is. And that would be the third thing that I would say is holding people back, is following advice versus trying to go against the grain.
And that's a really deep insight on the rules, because when you hear something about Facebook ads or any common tactic, like everyone's doing that. Everyone's really trying to follow those. So, I mean, something like Facebook ads can be really good. I know a lot of people who've experienced a lot of success. I believe you could still achieve success on Facebook ads if you were to get started today, but look for some of the areas that are not getting as much coverage or attention, and that is an area where you can really thrive and really take your business to the next level. So I definitely found that really interesting.
Because things just become priced to what they're valued. So eventually, over time, every new channel, every new niche, every new advertising medium, it gets saturated. And then eventually, as markets do, supply meets demand, and it's not something that you can arbitrage anymore. Typically, a lot of people find the arbitrage situations and then sell that as the golden goose. And then people come by later and try to eat the goose and realize it's already dead and has been dead for days. And it's rotted and moldy and all kinds of grossness.
So, I mean, it was really interesting to hear some of the ideas and concepts you believe hold a lot of people back. One thing I want to explore now is something that can really up-level us, and that's our habits, because our habits really make us who we are. So I'm wondering, Matt, if you can share with us some of the habits that you would consider essential to your success.
I would say I'm someone that has trouble turning off. I'm very motivated. I'm very wired. With or without coffee, I'm focused and can have trouble relaxing. So I would say just pure motivation and hard work is something that, while it's cliche, it's both a strength and an Achilles heel. I think the flip side of that is conversely incredibly important as well, how you turn off. So for me, working out, meditation are both things that can help with stress relief. In addition, reading books, God, not reading them, reading fiction books, something that can turn the brain off. For me, learning is incredibly important, so I'm always listening to podcasts. That's a big part of the reason that I started the podcast I have. It's a big part of the reason I like disruptors.fm, because I get to talk to the world's smartest people every day. But I listen to a fair number of podcasts. usually double or triple speed while I'm at the gym, just to try to be learning as much as possible. Let's see, other hacks or mindset things for me. Working with a coach can be super beneficial. Transparency, my wife is a coach, so she's been helping me. But if people want to chat with her, miriamward.com. But in general, having someone who you can talk to about a lot of this type of stuff is super valuable, because people, everybody has some type of bullshit that's holding them back, whether that's they're not going for what they really want to be going for. Like me, I was building a business focused on selling shit that I did not care about. That's something I got burned out of, which is why I had to sell the business. And a lot of us get burned out by what we're doing. We're not motivated by what we're doing, or we hold ourselves back because we think $1 million is good, or $500,000, or whatever it is. We all kind of have stuff like that. So finding someone who can walk you through that. And then the last little hack I would say is a mastermind group, trying to find other people with similar goals, interest, in getting yourself around them so you can all benefit and learn from each other.
I really like those hacks. I mean, the mastermind group is great. That's one of the reasons I came out with the Advanced Influencer Mastermind. Another great one is learning. And I feel like, I mean, learning is going to really open a lot of doors for you. That's one of the reasons why I started Breakthrough Success, because I've learned so much since I started hosting this show. But now that we're on learning, I'm wondering, Matt, if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Okay, so the most important book out there was written as a self-defense guide against manipulation and became the best manipulation guide of all time. That's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Dale Carnegie, I believe. You guys should be able to find it online. There's a free audiobook now that it's been out forever. You can check that out. And it's just a great way to really understand people, psychology, and to understand how I can get what I want by helping you get what you want, and then help you realize that. Because then we become on the same team and we all win. So going along the same lines, other books that I think are very valuable. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I liked that one as well, and it's something similar to what we've been talking about. But it's really just looking at what are the ways that you can make yourself more successful, more effective, and a better leader. Because if you can do those and you can do that well, you'll A, be happier, and B, be more successful. And then C, a third book. My third book would be a flip on what you're saying now, and I would say find a good fiction book, preferably science fiction, fantasy, something that's really outside your traditional realm of what the world is like, so that you can escape to something completely different, allow your brain to turn off, because when you do that and you turn off, you come back more creative and productive than ever.
Matt, thank you for those great book recommendations. Also interesting you mentioned getting a good fiction book to hit that off switch, because I think that's also very important. So we will put all those book recommendations in the show notes. We'll throw in content marketing secrets as well for anyone who wants to make revenue from their content, get more people to visit their content. All that will be at markbirdie.com/E315. And before we wrap up this episode, Matt, I've asked you a few questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What's your why, and what are you going to do when you get there?
Matt, that's a great question. I like the why. That's something very common. The what you're going to do when you get there, though, that's a great question, because that really gets you to think as if you've hit the goal. So that's good visualization, but it also gives you next steps or how to move forward. Really great question. Really great insights also throughout this entire episode. For people who are wondering where we can go to find Matt, I know he's on fringe.fm, where you can go to find his podcast. I'm wondering, Matt, if you want us to go anywhere else to find you as well.
Yeah, so we had to run away from fringe.fm. It turns out there's guys with a website, thefringe.fm, and they're the legit UFO hunters. We didn't want to be associated with them, so we changed and rebranded to disruptors.fm. So that's where you'll find my podcast. I interview, it's like 60% of people that have been on TED, top AI leaders, quantum computing, human longevity, find out how long we're going to live, robotics, AI, so much fun stuff. That's at disruptors.fm. And then I have a free book that you guys can check out. And this is actually, it's a pretty long book, and I just decided to make it into essentially a lead magnet type deal. So if you go to disruptors.fm/free, you can look at Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple, the gods of the valley, so to speak, and where they're headed, and how you can both understand their business models and use them to grow your own. And then if you're interested in the angel investing side of things, just thesyndicate.vc. On Twitter, I'm MattWard.io, and I think that's all the important stuff there.
Matt, thank you so much for sharing all those resources with us and all the great insights throughout our time together. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Yeah, it was fun, Mark, and thanks for doing this. You're a great host.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgaberti.com/PD.